Hi, this is Jonathan from Lewis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention, we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Lewis Jewelers.
Hey guys, welcome into this week's Michigan Recruiting Space. I'm EJ Holland of TheWolverine.com. Over at On3, if you're not a subscriber to TheWolverine.com, you can subscribe now. $1 for 1 year. Can't really beat that. So head over and get all your insider information over there. Kind of give you a taste of what you can get over at The Wolverine here on the space. But to get the full insider access, make sure to subscribe to The Wolverine. As always, guys, we're going to talk a little bit about Michigan's big recruiting weekend. We're going to talk about the latest storylines. But if you have any questions, feel free to hop on. This space is always for you guys. So definitely want to answer y'all's questions. Obviously, we'll do our best, just like we do every week, to ignore the Notre Dame trolls. We'll spend about 20 minutes on this space. But appreciate you guys for joining. Let's talk a little bit about Michigan's big weekend. You know, I spent half of the weekend in Las Vegas with Dante Moore, Jaden Davis, and some other prime targets. But let's talk a little bit about some of the official visitors and also a big unofficial visitor. Let's just start there. Let's start off with the unofficial visitor, Caden McDonald, four-star defensive lineman out of Georgia. The reason I'm starting with him is I just talked to him. He's the latest interview. You can go find his full quotes over at the Wolverine. But Caden McDonald, a top target along the defensive line, a mammoth nose prospect, 6'3", 325 pounds, actually flew out to Atlanta during the spring evaluation period, had a chance to see him practice, and he was terrific. I mean, he moves really, really well for a big guy. I was out there the same day as Michigan defensive line coach Mike Elston, and I know Elston was really impressed with him as well. Just that size, that movement is kind of hard to find in a nose prospect. Michigan got a guy like that in Kenneth Grant last cycle. So they're looking for another guy this cycle. You know, with the change in defensive philosophy over the last year, they need those big 300 pounders in the middle. That's why Kenneth Grant was such an important land last cycle. Now, Caden McDonald, a top target along with John Walker, who we'll talk about here in a second. But I thought the visit with Caden McDonald went as well as it could have gone. He's already set to come back to campus for another unofficial visit for the barbecue at the Big House, which usually takes place after the dead period in late July. I'm interested to see which, you know, Southern schools really make a move for him. He's set to make an official visit to Florida. He made an unofficial visit to Clemson today. I know he really likes Oklahoma and has some ties there. And then Michigan State, another Midwest school, trying to make a move with him, hosting him for an official visit here in the next couple of weeks. So, but overall, I think Michigan has a lot of momentum with Caden. I think he's a guy they can definitely land with Caden. He's taking it into the fall, doesn't plan to really make a decision until November. But I thought, you know, of some of the bigger targets on campus this weekend, Michigan really made a power move with Caden McDonald. Some other guys to talk about, John Walker. Let's go ahead and just transition straight to him. Since we're talking about nose guys, Walker is a huge kid, a huge talent as well in the trenches, a guy that I am really, really high on. He's a top 100 prospect. You know, from my conversations with sources around the program, they really view Walker as one of the nation's best, like, you know, close to a five-star level talent. So I know Michigan's making a really hard push there. I know that Walker's very open to the idea of leaving the Sunshine State. He's really high on Michigan. He's really high on Ohio State. But the local schools do scare me. Florida's getting his last official visit. Miami's getting an OV. UCF is involved as well. So those two, I think, are, you know, Florida and Miami, I think those two are going to be kind of tough to beat in that recruitment. But I think Michigan did create some positive momentum with John Walker. And then we'll kind of transition to the edge. Collins Achiampong, who actually just joined the space. So what's up, Collins? I had a great talk with Collins. This is a kid that I really, really like. I think he's one of the more underrated recruits in the entire country. So I flew out to Los Angeles for the Under Armour camp in the spring before Collins was actually a Michigan target. And I saw this kid, and he's 6'8", 250 pounds, so he's really hard to miss. And, you know, normally with those guys, they're kind of stiff, or, you know, the size is more than the talent. But with Collins, I mean, he checked all the boxes. He moves so well for his size. He bends well. I think he can be that next big-time edge guy at Michigan. You know, he has gotten some comparisons to David Ajabo. He actually has more of a, I see more Aiden Hutchinson in Collins. He actually mentioned that he has kind of a similar build to Aiden, but either way, I mean, I think Collins has potential through the roof. I mean, you look at some of the other edge guys that Michigan's recruiting, a little skinnier, longer. Collins is really filled out. He's only played 1 year of football. He's really athletic. He came here as a basketball kid. He's extremely intelligent, will be an early enrollee at whatever school he attends. And I just think he's a ball player. I think his best days are ahead of him. He kind of mentioned it in the interview that he's looking for development. It's going to take a little bit for him to develop just with him not playing a lot of football. But I think, again, the upside is there. I think he's one of the best edge prospects in the country. I think he's severely underrated. He's a consensus 4-star. He's only a 3-star on 3, but I think he's a top 300 player for sure. Easily checks the boxes for me. And I think Michigan's in a great spot coming out of the official visit. I think Collins will tell you as much. And I think that, you know, right now, I really like where Michigan stands. He is set to make his decision on July 1st. So keep an eye on that one. Some other guys on the defensive side of the ball. I had a really, really good talk with Makari Vickers, top 100 defensive back out of Florida. Was really cool to hear that his player host was actually Jaden McBurrows. They have very similar personalities. I obviously covered Jaden as a recruit as well. So I think that was the perfect player host for Makari. I think going into the visit, I was a little pessimistic about Michigan's chances. You know, I thought he's the guy that, you know, probably just visit Michigan and end up staying south. But I thought the visit went really well with Makari. I think that he's definitely an elite player. I actually saw him when he was really young on the 7-on-7 circuit playing for Tight Action, and he definitely impressed there. He's definitely filled out more since then. I think he's a guy that can play all over the secondary. Michigan likes him as a bigger corner. He's listed as a safety. I think he can be a nickel. So really, really like Makari Vickers' game. Obviously, a lot of schools like Makari's game. Alabama's set to get an official visit here after Michigan. So I think it's still going to be tough to pull Makari out of the South, but I do think Michigan created some positive movement there. You know, a guy that we haven't talked a lot about, we've talked a lot about him in recent spaces, but a guy we haven't talked a lot about coming out of the weekend just because everything's been so quiet has been Aaron Gates, 4-star defensive back out of Georgia, currently committed to the Florida Gators. Look, I mean, I think right now it's kind of a sensitive situation. I don't think there's going to be a lot of buzz coming out of that one. I think Aaron's going to, you know, keep it quiet. He's always been a quiet kid, so I think he's going to keep it personal. I think Michigan obviously has a good chance to flip him from Florida, considering he was on campus for the official. He was on campus in April for an unofficial for the spring game. And yeah, I still like, you know, where Michigan stands in that recruitment. Again, I won't say too much about Aaron, but I did hear the visit went well. He's a great player. Flew out to Georgia to see him as well, kind of in a workout setting, but also saw him last year at Michigan Satellite Camp in Nashville and was really impressed with him. I mean, he's also another versatile guy in the secondary. He's a top target at the nickel spot, and that's exactly where I like him. So that's kind of all I can really say with Aaron Gates. Let's go ahead and shift to the offensive line. That one's just kind of a really, really interesting group. So you had three official visitors again along the offensive line. We'll start with the interior guys. Paul Mubenga, I think Michigan gained a ton of momentum there. I'm close to putting in a pick for Michigan. I just want to see how his next two visits go. He has them scheduled with LSU and Texas A&M. Obviously, he's a Georgia kid, so the SEC schools are schools to fear. I think Michigan absolutely leads right now. I think, again, that visit went as well as it could have gone. So really, really excited about Paul Mbenga. I saw him during that same Georgia swing where I saw Caden and Aaron. And Paul's a really, really athletic interior offensive lineman, has some experience playing tackle, can add some weight and strength. But again, that athleticism really stands out, really high IQ player, great technical player as well. So I think Michigan's making him a top priority. I think he understands that. And I think Michigan has a good lead coming out of the visit. With Paul, I mean, his decision timeline right now, I think, is July. So we'll see kind of how that plays out. The interior offensive line board is kind of fascinating. So you have Paul, then you have Chris Turek, who's was on campus for his official visit out of Chicagoland right now, kind of a Michigan-Iowa battle. You have Landon Hatchett coming in this weekend. Amir Herring's unofficial got bumped up to an official visit. Looks like Michigan's now making a concerted effort to keep Herring home. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how that one shakes out. I mean, talking about Chris, kind of a guy that just blew up out of nowhere here in the Chicago suburbs. Really, really like him. He kind of has a tackle body right now, but definitely projects as an interior offensive lineman. Really excited about what he brings to the table. Upside is tremendous. I know that he's really ascended to the top of Michigan's board. So, yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Chris. I'm just interested to see if Michigan can beat Iowa. You know, Iowa does a great job of recruiting offensive linemen. They had a head-to-head battle with David Koff a couple of cycles ago, with Iowa winning that one. So I'm definitely wary of Iowa. At the same time, Chris grew up going to Michigan games. He's called it his dream school. So we'll kind of see how that one shakes out. The third offensive lineman is more of a pure tackle, Logan Howland. Logan actually played all tight end last year, so he's just transitioning to being an offensive tackle. We were talking about perfect player host. Tristan Bounds was his player host. I think him and Tristan really connected well. That was a perfect player host for him. Michigan in a great spot there. I think they're really battling Oklahoma. Iowa's involved. Miami's involved. They'll get his last two officials, but I think Michigan's in a great spot with Logan coming out of the visit. I'm going to try to take some questions. I'm trying to do some background checking on my laptop next to me, because I'm afraid we're just going to get bombarded with Notre Dame and Michigan State trolls. So we'll see. Let's go over to, all right, let's go over to Ember Plays. Oh, yeah, it looks like Ember Plays just left. We'll go to Owen. I know Owen's a Michigan fan, so we'll just let him hop in. Hey, Owen, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Good. Thanks for hopping on,
yeah,
man.
Go Blue. I had a question about Frederick Moore. I know that you said his speed is a big question, and I was wondering if that was a track thing or a game thing, and then how do you weigh, if someone has a bad track time but they look good in game, how do you weigh that in your eval?
Yeah, definitely. Good question. So, yeah, with Frederick Moore, I know he's a prospect that Michigan likes. The wide receiver board is just interesting. Over the next week and a half, you're going to have Jontae Cook on campus. You're going to have Jaylen Brown on campus. You're going to have Kenyon Sadiq on campus. So it'll be interesting to see how Michigan approaches it. I do have a pick in for Michigan to land Frederick Moore, but again, interested to see how the wide receiver board just kind of shakes out. You know, as far as Frederick Moore as a player, he's one of the prospects this cycle that I'm least familiar with. Didn't get to see him in any 7-on-7 action or any camp action. You know, looking at the film, it looks like he has good speed, but then you look at the track times, and I believe his top 100 meter is an 11.6, which obviously is not ideal. Weighing track times to weighing film, I mean, it is tough. I think I put a lot of emphasis on the 100 meter just because that does translate extremely well to the football field. You can really get a lot out of 100 meter times. Now, some guys might not train for track, like Samaj Morgan, for example, hasn't really ran a ton of track. It doesn't have the best track times on paper, but you can just tell once you watch him live that he's plenty fast, he's plenty explosive. I just haven't seen enough Fred Moore in person, or no Fred Moore in person, so I'd really, really like to see him live before I make a true judgment on him. But I think whenever you pull up the 100 meter time and the film, the speed does concern a little bit. But I think he's a really, really good football player. I think he's a solid prospect. There are some wide receivers that I do like better on the board. Obviously, the elite guys like Jonte Cook and Jaylen Brown. But Kenyon Sadiq, I think, is one of my favorite kind of gem prospects on the wide receiver board, who's going to be coming in here in a couple of weeks. I mean, he's a guy that can play multiple positions, but he's a bigger wide receiver as well. I think the upside, the explosion, the athleticism is all there for Sadiq. So again, just kind of waiting and seeing with how the rest of the summer goes with Moore.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Owen. We will go to Hayden Harris. All right, Haven, you are on the line.
Oh, sorry, I had my mic on off. Oh, sorry about that. Thanks, EJ. So I guess I'll start with, we're seeing a lot of Dante stuff out there, kind of brushing it off to the side until we find out on the 28th. What's your advice for all of us who are combing all of the sites looking for Dante information? And then how are you feeling about this coming weekend being the big weekend for getting in recruits? And is there anyone in particular we should be watching for their responses?
Yeah, definitely. I guess starting off with Dante, look, the Dante situation is interesting. I mean, I had a good story up with Dante yesterday, which you can find over at the Wolverine. But I think with him, you know, he's just kind of been really stressed out about the recruiting process. Obviously, last week was really tumultuous with CJ Carr committing to Notre Dame, it being one of his options. I mean, Avery Johnson scheduled an OV to Oregon. You know, Rashada is closing in on a decision. So all these quarterback dominoes are starting to fall around Dante, and I think he's just getting a little stressed out with the process. He's still enjoying it. He's going to take his unofficial visit to Texas A&M. That's the last visit he has scheduled right now. I know Michigan's making a push to get him back on campus one more time. Definitely wouldn't be surprised if that happens. Obviously, if I'm Michigan, I'm working to get him in on the 24th. That's the last OV weekend. And it also happens to be the date that Jaylen Brown is coming in, five-star wide receiver out of Miami. So it would obviously makes sense to link up Dante with Jaylen. But we'll see. You know, that's just speculation right now. I think the biggest advice, I guess, I would give to fans following the Dante Moore recruitment is, you know, just be patient. Dante's a really calculated guy. You know, I think staffs from various colleges will leak information, but I don't think Dante is really going to leak anything to anybody. I think he really tries to keep things close to the vest. He's learned a lot during the process about the business aspect of college football recruiting. And I think Dante's very smart in how he handles things. He's really mature for just turning 17. And I think he's just taking his time. He's making sure that he's checking all the boxes. Just because Dante's quotes kind of get repetitive, it doesn't mean that he's down on Michigan. You know, he gives kind of the same quotes about almost all schools. He knows how to play. He's very well media trained, you know, even for just being a high school kid. You know, he'll say some things now and then just based off of his personality. But I just wouldn't read too much into it. I mean, we'll kind of wait until the end of the month. And I think Dante's going to decide a little sooner than he wants to, just because everything's falling around him, just with quarterbacks taking spots. It's just the nature of recruiting with quarterbacks making early decisions. But I do think that Michigan's still a major player. I do think that there's a possibility that they get him on campus here in the next couple of weeks. So we'll see where the chips fall. As far as visitors coming in this weekend, obviously it's a big weekend. There were 13 official visitors last weekend, expecting around the same number this weekend. I just mentioned earlier in the space that Michigan is making a big push for Amir Herring now, four-star interior offensive lineman out of West Bloomfield. So obviously a local kid. If you don't know who Amir Herring is, he's, again, one of the best offensive linemen in the Midwest. Played for Ron Bellamy at West Bloomfield, has really always loved Michigan. I think that's always been kind of the school that's considered the favorite. I think things kind of dropped off contact-wise during the spring. Nebraska's gained a lot of buzz here in recent weeks following his official visit. I want to say not this past weekend, but the last one was when he went out to Nebraska. But I think even with kind of the contact issues, I guess, in the spring, Michigan can overcome that. I think, you know, there's maybe some bridges to repair there. But overall, I feel like Michigan's always been the school that's top of mind for Amir. He's always loved what the program can offer on and off the field. This is a kid that's a very high GPA student that aspires to be a medical doctor one day. So I think he really values the education at Michigan as well. So we'll see how it goes. I think that, you know, if you get in Amir Herring, that's a great way to get the momentum back on your side. And I think he's a guy that would be loyal throughout the process and would be a vocal recruiter. I think it's obviously going to help this weekend with Donovan on campus, with Samaj Morgan coming in for an unofficial visit, just having the West Bloomfield ties. So he's definitely one that I would be keeping an eye on this weekend. You know, if we're going to talk about guys that are maybe leaning Michigan going into the weekend, or guys that could potentially pull, you know, another one I would keep a close eye on is Deacon Tonielli from Chicagoland. Went out to see him last month. Very, very interested in Michigan. Has already made multiple visits. I think he was Michigan lean early on. You know, it's still kind of unclear if Michigan's going to take one or two tight ends, but I definitely think that he's a commitment candidate for sure. Some other guys, Eno Etta, I think the tides are turning in the right direction for Michigan. Michigan State was considered the early leader there, but Michigan's obviously the superior school when it comes to academics, and I know he really values that, which is why Stanford is also in the mix, but I think Michigan is building up on the right side of that one. Jackson Howard, I think, you know, another edge prospect, top 100 kid, really love him. I mean, he could be a star at tight end, but projects better as an edge. Really excited about Jackson coming in for the official. I think Michigan did a phenomenal job of working its way back into that recruitment. I think Michigan and Miami might be the two schools at the top, but he's still very interested in home state Minnesota as well. So we'll kind of see how that visit plays out, but I think Michigan is right up there for him. And then kind of sneaky recruitment here, Tyler Thompson, three-star edge out of North Carolina, is a guy that's risen up kind of a loaded edge board, and I think it is one of the more under the radar prospects on Michigan's entire recruiting board. But I know he's a prospect that the staff really likes. I know they're going to push for him. And I definitely think he could be a guy that could jump on board as well. So hopefully that answers all your questions, Hayden.
Yep, thanks a lot, EJ. And mostly the Dante question was I think we should all wait and be patient because there's so much conflicting information going on.
definitely. Well, appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on. All right, we have some more callers here. Let's go. Let's pray that this isn't a Notre Dame troll. Let's go in order. Let's go with Mac at Go Blue Insider.
Hi, this is Jonathan from Lewis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention, we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Lewis Jewelers.
All right, Mac, you are on the line.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Go Blue. No, I just have a couple questions. One being, we always seem to take, you know, two developmental or more guys that, you know, guys like Quiddy Pay that on both sides of the ball. So I was just curious as to if you see in this cycle like one defensive and one offensive player that could be that type of caliber player. And also wanted to see if we do eventually end up, you know, landing more, does that affect, do you feel like that's going to affect some of the 2024 guys that we have pretty high ranked that are interested as well?
Definitely. Great questions all around. So the first question, I mentioned Collins earlier. I mean, I'm a huge Collins fan. This is a kid that projects in the same way. It's interesting. You mentioned Quiddy Pay. Quiddy has actually reached out to Collins, or vice versa. Collins reached out to Quiddy, but Quiddy got back to him. I gave him great advice about the Michigan program. He's kind of become, Collins said he's kind of become a big brother type to him. So I definitely see Collins in that same mold. I mean, this is a kid that came to the United States from Ghana, has only played 1 year. His football program got shut down during the pandemic. He originally came here as a basketball kid. So it's like, you know, there isn't a lot of football tape. He hasn't played a lot of downs, but just watching him at that Under Armour camp in Los Angeles, seeing the way he moves, seeing his size. I mean, this kid is gigantic, 6'8", 250 pounds. He reminds me of Margus Hunt, who actually covered like 10 years ago at SMU. Margus ended up being a second round draft pick. He came to the United States from Estonia to do track and field. But Collins kind of reminds me of that type of guy. He has more Aiden Hutchinson than David Ojabo if we're making Michigan comparisons. But I think that upside is tremendous. I mean, 1 year of football might scare off some people. For me, I mean, all the talent and tools and size and athleticism and speed are there for Collins to be developed. And, you know, something that's really underrated that was mentioned throughout the weekend by all recruits was just the job that Ben Herbert does in the strength and conditioning program. Every recruit has talked about how impressed they were with Ben's presentation. And I think that he again is one of the best in the country at getting guys' bodies right, along with Abigail O'Connor and the nutrition department. So I think that coupled with Mike Elston, who has a proven track record as a developer of talent, Jesse Minter, who's a bright young mind, I think they can get the most out of Collins if he were to commit. On the offensive side of the ball, Logan Howland, I mean, I mentioned it briefly, but this is a kid that hasn't even played offensive tackle. He's more of a tight end that's just transitioning right now. He said this is going to be his first year really playing tackle, more going to line up at right tackle. He could be a true left tackle. Again, I said Tristan Bounds was like the perfect player host. When I saw Tristan for the first time, I was just shocked at how well he was put together. You know, he was a guy that was super skinny, and then his senior season got canceled during the pandemic, and he just trained full-time, kind of like how Collins is doing, and he ended up looking like a heavyweight boxer. That's how kind of cut up he was. I think Logan can kind of get to that Tristan Bounds level. I think Tristan Bounds has a bright future at Michigan. I think Logan would have a bright future at Michigan too. Those are two of the more kind of developmental guys, with Collins not having a lot of football experience, with Logan not having a lot of tackle experience. I think those guys are very, very high upside prospects. And then in terms of Dante helping out with the 2024 class, yeah, if Dante were to commit, I mean, I don't think it's late enough in the game to where Dante wouldn't be able to help with the 23 class. I think that's why I mentioned, you know, they need to get him in that weekend that Jaylen Brown's visiting. I think he could help with a guy like Jaylen, but the 2024 receivers as well, he has some good relationships there. Four-star wide receiver DeBron Gatling out of the Atlanta area by way of Detroit. They were childhood friends, played on the same youth team. They played together this weekend in Vegas. They have a great relationship. I think Dante could definitely help out with DeBron. Burdell Richardson's a guy that Dante has grown kind of close with just through 7-on-7 stuff. Richardson visited, you know, a couple weeks ago, so I think that one is one he can help out with. Even some kids here in the Midwest, Jeremiah McClellan, Amarion Stewart. I think both on 300 receivers that are high on Michigan's board. I think just Dante having that big name can kind of help around the region as well. So yeah, no, I definitely think Dante's presence, just his personality, the magnetic smile, the big hair, the elite arm talent. Like I definitely think he can help out Michigan on the recruiting trail, even if his commitment comes kind of later in the cycle. And really wherever Dante lands, he's going to be kind of a leader, a face of that class, obviously, just with his, you know, stature and rankings and how personable he is and how active he is at all these recruiting events. All right. So we appreciate you for hopping on and asking the questions. Let's go to Heem. The Heemster has been waiting for a long time, so we'll go ahead and go over to him. All right, Heem, you're allowed to speak.
I got a quick question on Peyton Bowen and Keon Keeley taking official visits, because you're...
Okay, so we had a Notre Dame troll. They love to come on, so let's go ahead and go on to Jonathan Crutcher, who we know is a loyal Go Blue fan. We apologize to everybody for that. Man, these dudes, Jonathan, I don't know what's going on with them. All right, Jonathan, can you hear me? All right, sorry, we have some issues with Jonathan getting on the line. Let's see if we can bring someone else. You know what's crazy is, like, these Notre Dame fans make, like, fake Michigan accounts. Like, they pretend to be Michigan fans, like, just to join the spaces. That's how just lame they are. So let's go ahead and see if Jonathan doesn't hop on. We will go to, let's go to Wolverine Hot Talk. All right, Wolverine Hot Talk, you're online.
Hi, EJ. Thanks for doing this. First time on one of these spaces, and I do have a question, but first I just wanted to say how incredibly weird it is that fans from other teams come on here. That is some of the most creepy behavior I've ever seen in my life, and I think some of these people need to get a life. But for my question. So for the 2022 class, Michigan was able to capitalize on their success in the season and close on some big name recruits at the end of the cycle, like Darius Clemens and Derek Moore. And so I was just wondering if you had a couple of possible candidates in mind that with another good season and some things breaking their way, Michigan would have a chance with near the end of the cycle that maybe right now it seems like they aren't truly in contention with.
No, definitely. To your first point, not only is it creepy that they come on here, it's also creepy that they create Michigan fan accounts solely for the purpose of joining this space. But to answer your question, yeah, no, there's definitely guys that Michigan could get back on in on close to the end of the cycle. I mean, last year, obviously, Michigan was kind of out of that mix with Keon Saab. They came on and were able to land him late, even with Clemson's no visit policy and everything like that. Darius Clemens was another guy that they landed late that had eliminated Michigan. You also have just like random guys pop up that are kind of late risers. Jimmy Rolder went from somebody that was completely unknown to a top 100 prospect on three. So yeah, definitely guys that can pop up late with another strong season. I mean, I would obviously keep an eye on guys that are committed elsewhere. I mean, our good Notre Dame friend Heem mentioned Keon Keeley and Peyton Bowen. Michigan working to get Peyton Bowen in for an OV. If that doesn't happen, I still think they can potentially get him in the fall with a strong season. You know, Marcus Freeman is unproven as a head coach, 0-1. Obviously, they're going to play Ohio State in the opener. I would expect Ohio State to whip them pretty well. So, you know, that could open the door for Notre Dame commits. Keon Keeley, another one. You know, not a lot of buzz there, but Mike Elston recruited him to Notre Dame. Obviously, Elston's a great recruiter, and he can do a good job there down the stretch, especially if Michigan's defensive line produces a lot to sell to both Keeley and Bowen. So I think those are definitely two that come to mind that are just committed elsewhere. You know, Michigan's already doing a really good job of getting back in on guys. One guy I would have said would have been Jaylen Brown, and he, you know, recently scheduled his official visit for the 24th. So we're working to get, you know, get back on top with Jaylen. You know, he made two unofficial visits last year, and there wasn't a lot of buzz there. Recently scheduled the OV, so I think they have a chance to make a move with Jaylen. But yeah, the two guys that I guess come to mind would be Keely and Bowen. I think we have to see where things kind of fall coming out of this summer. Obviously, Michigan hasn't landed any commitments coming out of this official visit weekend. We'll see how things go during Victor's weekend. And the 24th is shaping up to be a nice OV weekend too. I think it's kind of hard to project this far out, but again, those are some of the guys that just kind of come to mind. All right. Well, we appreciate Wolverine Hot Talk for coming on. Let's go back to Jonathan Crutcher, because he didn't get his question in. He's back in the lobby. Yeah, I got you, Jonathan. How's it going?
It's going good, man. These in defense, bro. EJ, like, can you make money off of them? Because if you could, you need to try. At this point,
no, they do sign up for the site to comment, so we are making money off of them. They think they're trolling me, but we're actually trolling them, so that's great.
All right, so I have three questions. First question, I think I know the answer, but I just want to, Joseph Mpoye, is he still coming this weekend, or is that on hold? Start there.
I won't really comment on it, but I'll just say it's on hold.
Okay. Well, I know you can't go into detail, so I won't ask you that. Two, there was, I guess you can't comment on it, but I'll ask, do you think there were any silent commits that they're waiting on from this weekend?
Is he coming
or no commits at all? Who's not muted? Right. Matt. Matt, can you mute yourself?
You said
Matt.
I don't know if they're good.
Sorry, we have some Jonathan back noise there.
Well, it's not me. It's Matt.
The other ones I threw away.
Oh well, I don't know. I don't know who we let everyone in. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Not sure who else is talking. Let me go to speakers. Sorry about that, guys.
Oh no, you're good.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
It is.
I'm just sitting in my room by myself. I promise.
No, it sounded like you had some people over, but nah. Were there any silent commits? Yes, but that's all I'll say.
No, that's fine. And then the last question, is it true that Benjamin Hall is rising up? I'm hearing he might get some bumps. Is that true? Or is that just a rumor?
In terms of rankings, he definitely got a bump on Rivals. I know he got bumped up to a 4-star. I think the thing with Ben is, obviously, he's kind of is what he is. He's a power back kid. He's 5'10", 227 pounds. He's built like a tank, has a great lower half. I mean, tree trunks for thighs, an upper half to even add more weight. I kind of liken him to Michael Turner. Which was also a comparison used by another high school coach in the Atlanta metro area. So I think that's a good comp for him. You know, right now, I think the biggest thing with Ben is he splits carries at the high school level. He plays for North Cobb, which is a premier program, consistently turns out Division I level talent, high level talent. But I think with Ben, it's just there isn't a ton on tape right now. Again, he splits carries. He only rushed for like 500 yards last year. That's not a knock on Ben. He splits carries with really good guys. Like they have another Division I prospect in the backfield as well. So I think right now it's kind of wait and see. I mean, Ben had a really good Under Armour camp in Atlanta. I thought he had a good spring as well. I'm interested to see what his senior tape looks like. I think he's one of the more intriguing guys right now, probably a high 3-star, but yeah, definitely room to move up just depending on what he looks like as a senior.
I just want to, there's one more, well, I'll combine them. Any Jeremiah Love information, and is there any other running backs we're looking at, or are we going to be with those two that we have?
Yeah, good questions. Yeah, Jeremiah Love, I think that's been one of the quieter recruitments coming out of the weekend. Not a ton of information coming out. I know Michigan is high on the list. I know he enjoyed his visit, but at the same time, Michigan has made him a priority as a defensive back. I think there's still a preference there for him to play some running back. It's going to be tough. You know, Notre Dame, Alabama are some schools that are high on his mind. He has the Bama official visit coming up. So I think that one's a tough recruitment to read on. And then as far as, you know, maybe taking another back, I think right now it's likely just Hall and Cabana. Maybe another guy will pop up. Cabana kind of gives you a little bit of flexibility because he can do some different things. Obviously, can return kicks and punts. He can line up in the slot. Anytime you have a guy that runs in the 10-6s and the 100-meter, I mean, there's a spot for him just on the offense to do something. So I think that might give you a little flexibility. But as of right now, not a lot. I mean, I think Love could end up being the best running back if they were to land him. But that's kind of where things stand with the running back.
I didn't mean to laugh, but I did. That you said Love being the best running back commit. That's funny.
No, definitely. We appreciate you, Jonathan. Thanks for hopping on.
Listen, keep doing what you're doing, even with all the trolls.
All right, thanks. Let's go to David Donner. He's been waiting for a while. All right, David, you can speak anytime. Let's make sure his mic's not muted. David, can you hear me? All right. Looks like we're having some technical difficulties with David. Let's try to go to, let's see. Sorry, guys. It might actually be on my end. We'll take one more requester. Let me do some background checking. But those were some great questions from Jonathan, in terms of just running back recruiting. I'm really interested to see if Michigan tries to get back for an elite target to kind of bounce off of that. Looking at Wolverine Hot Talk's question, I think that, you know, a big time running back could be open to maybe jumping in the class late, especially with how productive Michigan's running backs, you know, have been and how they could be this season with Blake and Donovan. I think that would open up maybe some opportunities for an elite back to jump in. David, you can still talk anytime if you are able to figure out your issues there. Sorry, guys, again for the technical difficulties. Let's go over to. Oh, now we have Ohio State trolls. My God, let's go over to Abi Rahman and let's hope that he's not a troll. All right, Abi, you can speak whenever. All right, looks like we're still having some technical issues here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Figured it out. Hey, first of all, thank you for being the best recruiting reporter in the country. Notre Dame fans know that. That's why they're trolling you. They hate you because they ain't you, right? So that's first and foremost. And then secondly, I joined a little bit late. So this might have already been asked. Two defensive backs that I think are probably the best on the board are Aaron Gates and Makari Vickers. How did their visit?
Looks like we lost him there. But to answer his question, and we appreciate the kind words, obviously. Not sure what happened, but Aaron Gates and Makari Vickers. Yeah, I talked about it earlier. So just to touch on them briefly, I do think Michigan's still in a good spot to flip Aaron Gates from Florida. I think that one's kind of a sensitive situation. I think Aaron's kind of keeping things quiet. I think, you know, those on the Michigan side are keeping things quiet. So we'll kind of see how it plays out. Still pretty optimistic there. And then Makari Vickers, I was very pessimistic on coming into the visit. I thought, you know, he's just going to enjoy his time at Michigan and stay in the Southeast. But he had a great visit. Michigan has done a tremendous job in that recruitment, just group effort. Jesse Minter's been involved, Clink, George Hilo is area recruiter. Obviously, he's been involved. Jay Harbaugh has been involved. Jim was involved on the visit. I think they really made a big impression on him. Alabama official visit coming up. Obviously, that's going to be tough if Alabama makes a move. But I think that things went well. And, yeah, I'm a big fan of both players. I think both are versatile. They can play multiple positions in the defensive backfield. All right, we'll go last question because we've gone, like, way over time. Let's go to Tyler Vandermolen. All right, Tyler, you can speak whenever.
Hey, EJ, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Great. So, two questions for you. I guess first, is it true that all Notre Dame fans are virgins? And second question, kind of prompted by your discussion of Frederick Moore earlier. So curious if you have any insight on when you've got a kid who's visiting and who's offered, but who's maybe a second tier target or a 1B kind of target, and they're maybe not ready to take his commitment right now. Any insight on how they approach that with the recruit? It seems kind of a potentially sensitive situation. You know, do they are they generally open with it and say, hey, we've got these few guys ahead of you on the board, we got to see how those commitments shake out? Or is it like you know, we'll just wait on it, take your visits, you know, don't be in any rush? Always curious how the coaching staff goes about approaching those kind of situations.
No, definitely. Yeah. You know, as far as your first question, I always envision like Notre Dame fans all being like 5'5", like literally looking like the leprechauns. Like, you know, I don't know, man. They're just little angry people. But, you know, that's a good question. That's an interesting kind of, you know, offbeat question. It's tough to handle, obviously, you know, whether you're a school or even if you're a reporter like me trying to kind of shape and paint the picture for you guys as fans. I think, you know, not talking about Fred Moore specifically, but I think in a lot of those cases, you know, a school like Michigan might say, hey, we really like you. We're glad the visit went really well. You know, make sure to take all your visits or something like that, kind of giving the kid more leeway, like make sure to take all your visits, make sure you're sure about this. We have some other receivers coming in next weekend. I don't know, man. It's really tough to handle. I think that's one of the toughest situations because you can't land everybody, right? And you obviously want to use caution when approaching things like that because there are kids you might really, really like. You know, like I like Frederick Moore. I'm not super high on him. But when you have Jaylen Brown coming in, when you have Jonte Cook coming in, when you have Kenyon Sadiq coming in, I do think it's kind of tough to maybe accept a commitment like that on the spot. So I think it's more so just encouraging them to take visits, keeping in contact, keep loving them up, but kind of painting the overall picture as well. I think it's good to be honest too. That's why, you know, I kind of mentioned, hey, we have some other receivers coming in, we're going to reset the board or something. So yeah, I think that's kind of the best way to approach it. I have heard that's a little bit like how Michigan approaches it as well. Again, not necessarily in this specific situation, but just from an overall recruiting standpoint, you know, there's only a certain number of spots. Like they're only taking, you know, one safety this year. They could flex it depending on if they can get a big time athlete like Jacoby Johnson. But right now, you know, one safety, that's tough when you're recruiting, you know, four or five guys for that spot. So yeah, I think it's one of the more difficult things to really approach in college football. But at the same time, I think kids are just growing more and more mature with the process as time goes on and the process really expands to where there might not be as many hurt feelings. I mean, you look at the Amir Herring situation as well. You know, that's a kid that contact was up and down in the spring. He was a priority early on, and now he's coming in for his official, and Michigan has a chance to kind of turn the tide after Nebraska gained some steam. So yeah, I think every situation is kind of different, but I would say that's kind of just a general overview.
Thanks, EJ. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, appreciate you, Tyler. I really wanted to let Dave L. in, but I'm afraid he's a troll. But I love the cat picture, Dave. Sorry, I won't let you in this time, but if you send me a message, I'll let you in next time. And plus, we've gone way over time.